We're learning Tanya by the Alter Rebbe, and we are in chapter 9, towards the end of chapter 9. What's the subject of chapter 9? The idea is to understand how everything that we defined, the structure that we defined in the previous chapters, from 1 to 8, including, how this actually starts working. How does it work? Because we only have a structure, and then you have the factory, you have all the machines put in place, so let's make it work. Chapter 9 starts explaining how this actually works. The heart and the brain and the Yetzer Tov, good inclination, Yetzer Hara, bad inclination, evil inclination. How all of this actually functions? That's what chapter 9 starts explaining. And then continues in chapter 10, 11, 12, explaining what a tzaddik is, what a rasha is, what a righteous person is, what an evil person is, and so on. And then the Beinoni. It's going to take a few chapters. We are towards, again, the end of the page Yudale, towards the end of the chapter. And the Alter Rebbe is explaining that there's a war inside of us. Every single human being, as I mentioned many times, even though the Tanya was written for Jews, certain ideas certainly applies to every single human being. Every single human being has a war inside. Should I act good or not? Should I do good or not? Whatever good means. I mean, even beyond religion, beyond Judaism or beyond any religion you can think of, there are certain things that a person understands with brain, with mind, that are correct. However, I really would enjoy not doing it or doing something else. So you have a fight. Should I do the correct or not? The right thing to do or not? Should I pay my bills or not? Should I pay taxes or not? Okay, maybe you can survive without paying taxes. Is it correct or not? Okay, go ask a lawyer. He's going to tell you what's correct and what's not. But a person has a war inside of it. The government takes a lot of money out of me. Should I pay or not? Maybe not. Maybe yes. Okay, it's a fight inside of you. And this fight happens in two directions. From below to above, from above to below. From the heart to the brain, and from the brain to the heart. From the heart to the brain basically come all the bad ideas. I should not pay the taxes, I should actually take my neighbor's wife, and et cetera, et cetera. And from the brain to the heart, let's call them good ideas, quote unquote, don't behave like that, don't be an animal, be a good person, and so on. And this is basically where we are right now, where from the brain goes down to the heart, the understanding of the greatness of God, and I stress this word understanding because it means a person actually meditated, spent time thinking about God. It's not enough to say, oh, God is great. Yeah, let's move on. Let's go eat pizza. No, no, no. It doesn't work like that. You're going to have to spend time thinking about how great is God. He created the world. Let's go eat pizza. No, 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 no. What's the world? And there are stones and plants and animals and human beings and blah, blah, blah. You could spend hours thinking about exactly what the world is, and there are other worlds, other planets, other the stars and so on. So how great is God? The more time you spend on thinking about this, the better you're going to understand the greatness of God. And that's going to come down from the brain, because it's all a rational thing, the greatness of God, the unity of God and so on, going down to the heart and spreading through the heart from the right side to the left side. This is what the Alter Rebbe spoke about in the previous class. I'm not going to repeat. And that generates that both parts of the heart, so to speak, the good one and the bad one, start loving God. Start loving God. And this is actually what we're going to start reading. Again, the line starts Chof Mem Shin, towards the end of the line, towards the end of the page. Yudalet Sheyale Ve'yove Ve'yagia Le'madreges Ava Rabo. You're going to reach a level called a great love, a deep love, profound love, different translations for the basic, same idea. Vechiba yeseira, and you will really like God. Mimadrigas ava aza, something like a very strong love. Keresh pei eish, like a flaming fire. Vehi, anikes kabakosova ava betainug, and this is what it's called in the Torah, a pleasurable love. What does that mean? To have pleasure in God, something similar to the world to come. V'ha'oineg, and what does it mean to have pleasure in love? The word pleasure, oineg, in Hebrew, it's kind of weird. Interestingly, it has nothing to do with Tanya, but the same letters of the word oineg, pleasure, is the word nega, which means a stain by tzaras, and whatever, miraculous sicknesses. So you see there are really, literally two opposites, like impurity, complete impurity, or complete pleasure in God. So basically, a person is stained, quote-unquote, when his pleasure is misplaced. Instead of having pleasure of God, you have pleasure in pizza. I'm not saying pizza is good or bad, but I'm just saying definitely it's not God. No, that's a stain. It's changing the letters of the word oineg, pleasure, into a stain in your life. You live for pizza, you live for sushi, you live for whatever, money, beauty, or whatever it is. Okay, so what does it mean, this pleasure? The Alter Rebbe explains, oineg u'b'moyach ha'chochma. This pleasure actually functions, resides, lives in the brain of wisdom, Chochma. The Alter Rebbe explained in the first chapters what Chochma meant, in the chapter three actually. Chochma means wisdom, that's the translation, but basically means the germinal point of an idea, where like the ray of an idea that pops into your head. Oh, I have a good idea. Can you explain it? No. Not yet. I just had an idea. Let me think about it. Oh, so the idea means chokhmah. The thinking about it, the developing of the idea, the details of the idea, the explanation of the idea, that, etc. That's bina. That's understanding. So I know it, but I still don't understand it. That's chokhmah. So this pleasure happens in the brain, so to speak, called chokhmah. He calls it a brain, because the brain itself is divided into different parts, like naturally speaking, the physical brain, and also spiritually speaking, is divided into three parts, as defined in chapter 3, in mysticism of Judaism, Kabbalah, whatever. And also seichel, amisanek v'askalas Hashem, and in the intellect that has pleasure in the understanding of God, as I explained before. You have to really think about it. V'yediosei, and your knowledge of God according to your capacities, in your wisdom, and this is the same idea of water, and zera means seeds, or zarua, like there's a seed, planted light, something like that. He's paraphrasing different verses of Tehillim. Shebekidushas nefesh elokis, in the holiness of the godly soul. That's for Jews, of course. And for non-Jews, pretty simple. Normal human brain can understand godliness, can understand that there's something beyond understanding, beyond intellect. And this is one of the interesting ideas that appears in Hasidus many times. The Alter Rebbe doesn't bring it in Tanya, but it's brought down in many other places, that intellect understands that something, that there is something beyond intellect. Even though I don't understand exactly what that something is, but I understand that there's something beyond intellect. Simple example. There's something called axioms. Axioms, I don't know if it's the proper word in English or not, but axioms means there are certain, in Hebrew is muskal rishon. Like, give me the basics of intellect, of understanding ideas. In order for you to grow into understanding something, you have to put some basics. And those bases don't have any rule to it. Don't have any understanding. No, this is where we're going to start. If A equals B, so we are assume already there's something called equal. Oh, what does it mean equal? Yeah, when you have something that is pretty much the same thing as the others, those ideas don't have any reason to be like that. But are just, again, in Hebrew it's called muskal rishon, the different ideas that we say, these are the basics of thinking. If you don't think this way, you're wrong, I'm sorry. We can't talk and share ideas if we don't have the same basic understanding of how the world functions. A can be equals to B, and then if A equals B, then C, okay, whatever, logic and ideas. Maybe I'm just going around this subject without the proper words, because of my perfect English. But what I'm trying to say is that once you have an irrational base, I'll give another example. Then you can start building on a rational way. Let me give another example. When a scientist makes an experiment in a laboratory, he puts some base start points of his experiment. We're going to try this for this amount of time, and we're going to put this pressure, this temperature, and these, all of these variables, all of these things are not rational things. We're going to do such an experiment. We're going to put this bacteria into this place, give it this food, this amount of temperature, this amount of pressure, this amount of time, and we'll see what happens. That's an experiment. That's fine. But again, the start points of the experiment don't have a why, a reason. We just want to know what happens. Maybe this bacteria can live without food. How long can it live without food? Maybe this bacteria can live with a temperature of, I don't know, how many degrees and so on. We just start. Let's try. Who's going to die? Nobody, the bacteria, so who cares? So let's try it. The base doesn't have any rationale. Then you start using your mind to understand what happens with the bacteria. It died, it didn't die, it ate, it didn't eat, whatever happens. So intellect, again, understands that there are some basics that are beyond the intellect. Don't make any sense, but we stand up on top of those ideas, and then we start to understand. Why did I say this? Because the Alter Rebbe is explaining that there's a brain, there's a mind, there's an intellect that can understand the greatness of God. Really? Can you understand God? No, I can't. It's impossible. Nobody understands God. But look at his creation. Try to understand what you see around you. The ideas that God shared about himself, how great he is. And that's going to help you have some kind of understanding of what God is, through understanding his actions, his acts, his greatness, and so on. And that's going to create a great pleasure in your mind, and that's something accessible for anyone, not just for Jews. Continuing with the Tanya, so that's called, again, chokhmah, wisdom, oineg, pleasure, mime, water, zera, like a seed that is planted, and so on. Amehapeches letoiv es bechinas ha-mayim shebenefesh ha-bahamis, that transforms into good the water, quote-unquote, of the animal soul. What is he saying? Very simple. The animal soul understands pizza and understands sushi and understands beauty and alcohol and whatever, just an animal. So there has to be something that can transform this pleasure that the animal soul has on pizza, alcohol, and so on, into pleasure for God. How can you do that? Again, the Alter Rebbe said, you have to think about the greatness of God. You have to meditate, contemplate, and so on God. So once the animal within each one of us understands that God is something also something pleasurable, also something we can enjoy, so he's going to enjoy it. Because the animal just wants to enjoy. Just give me something enjoyable, and I'll be happy. I understand that pizza is enjoyable. Okay, I understand sushi, I understand alcohol, I understand... I don't understand God. Okay, wait a second. I'll show you how God is something you can have pleasure from. Oh, okay. So I like it. That's fine. And if I don't understand it, I don't like it. Bring me pizza. That I understand. That's why the Alter Rebbe says that the godly soul or whatever, the understanding of godliness transforms into good this water, quote unquote. What was the water? The water was the wisdom, the pleasure of the animal soul. That from the animal soul, that means the capacity of pleasure of the animal soul, come all the passions that a person has for all the pleasures of this world. Mitchila, from the beginning, they came from that, from there. Interestingly, the Alter Rebbe is not saying kill your animal soul, kill your capacity to have pleasure. That's a terrible thing to do. And Alter Rebbe is not saying this, because a person that doesn't have pleasure in anything, it's very dangerous, because it's not going to have pleasure in life either. So what's next? Suicide. That's the only way out. Anyway, I don't have pleasure in anything. Nothing at all in the world brings me pleasure. So why should I live? So we do live, and it's something very deep in the heart, very deep in the essence of the soul, so to speak. In Hasidus, there's a whole big argument what comes first, pleasure or will. There's a whole back and forth. This curse is bringing you this perspective, then the other one. It's a long discussion. But the end of the discussion is that there's something called the essential pleasure within the soul of a person, which is actually the essence, so to speak, the essence of the person. And we live on that. But it doesn't mean pleasure on pizza. It means pleasure on being. I live. And I have pleasure. I mean this in a good sense. I have pleasure in myself that I be. I am. I exist. I'm here. That brings me pleasure. Now, that's good. But that pleasure usually, if you just leave it like that and leave your animal soul, so to speak, play and do whatever it wants, that expresses in pizza, sushi, women, alcohol, etc. So we're not killing here the pleasure. We're just orienting the pleasure and telling the animal soul, hey, look, it's okay to have pleasure. It's good. But you should have pleasure in something good, in God. So the divine soul, so to speak, within non-Jews, I would say the intellectual soul, the brain, has to show how it is possible to have pleasure in God by thinking about him and so on. וכמו שכתוב בצחיים שרנון פרק ג' בשם הזויר. As it's written over there in Kabbalah, in the name of the Zohar, in the writings of the Arizal, it's written in the name of Zohar, שהרה נפח ליהיה טוב גמור. There's a level where the evil within a person transforms itself and becomes complete good, absolute good. כמו יצר טוב ממש, like another good inclination. So suddenly you have two good inclinations. Before you had one good one and an evil one. Now you have two goods, as we're going to see in the next chapter. How do you accomplish this? Behasira begadim tzoyim mimenu, when you take out, quote unquote, the dirty garments from you. What are the dirty garments? I don't understand. All the pleasures of this world. Those are dirty garments. That you're really inside of them. You're wearing these garments. The same thing happens with all other emotions in the heart. That they are derivatives of the fear and the love, fear of not having enough money to pay the bills, fear of my neighbor, fear of, wait a second, fear is fear of God. That's the only thing you should have fear of. Actually, there's a story by the Baal Shem Tov, very short. His father, Rabbi Eliezer, passed away when he was 5 years old. And before passing away, his father called his son, Israel, Baal Shem Tov, and he told him, you should not be afraid of anything in the world except God. The rest doesn't exist. Forget it. And the Baal Shem Tov lived with this, and he taught this, and so on. So anything that you're, quote unquote, afraid of, worry about, and so on, that is not God, what are you worried about? Do you think there's anything else that controls anything in the world? It's just God. It's very easy to say, very difficult to live by this, but this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying. So again, the same thing happens with all other emotions in the heart that are derivatives of the fear and the love. They have to be just for God, just oriented towards God. And your power of speech in your mouth, and your thoughts in your heart, have to be full of the garments of thought and speech of the godly soul. That means the will of God. You should only think about God, you should only talk about God, or the will of God. This means thinking about God and His Torah. that your speech, the whole day, that your mouth does not stop producing, and the power of action in your hands, and the rest of your members, organs of your body, 248 organs, actually women have more, whatever, have to be just for the action of commandments, whatever God says. This is the third garment explained in chapter 4 of the godly soul. Ach, however, nefesh habamis shemeaklipa, the animal soul that comes from this shell, klipa, that we explained, either klipas noiga, a brilliant shell, either klipas atmeis, impure shells, and we explained also how this applies to non-Jews. Retzoina lehepech mamesh. Its will, it's the complete opposite of what we just defined. What does that mean? Letoivas Adam. I'm sorry, before what this means. Before continuing with the text. What does it mean? Over here, the Alter Rebbe explained, and we said it in the previous class, that there's an example of a king. There are two kings fighting for one city. So over here we have Nefesh HaLekis and Nefesh HaBamis, the godly soul and the animal soul. They're fighting for what? For the control of the body, of the intellectual soul and the body. And this fight, the Alter Rebbe is going to say this later, not in this chapter. This chapter is about to finish, but the Alter Rebbe is going to say this fight is never going to end. Never. There's not going to come a time that you say, that's it, my animal soul doesn't want this anymore. No. No, we were not created for that. In next chapter, the tzaddik comes into the picture, the righteous person. He doesn't have a conflict. He doesn't have a fight. But the rest of us, we were not created basically to be tzaddikim. And that's one of the causes of depression. The Alter Rebbe says in chapter 27, 28, 29, we don't understand we're not tzaddikim. And after so many years of fighting and working and so on, I still desire blah, blah, blah. Me? Yeah. Because we were not created to be tzaddikim. So, this is basically chapter 9. We still have one more line, which is a very important line to understand. Very important. But on purpose, I'm not reading the line right now. I want to explain this before. Like, what's the whole thing of chapter 9? There's a fight inside each one of us. And this fight is for the control of the body, the control of all the limbs and members of the body, the control of thought, speech, and action. Who's going to win? Either you're going to orient your life toward God, that's the godly part inside of us, or you orient your life toward whatever pleasures, mundane pleasures. Doesn't mean to be a bad person. Don't misunderstand. We're not talking about somebody that steals and kills and it's a terrible person and death penalty. No, 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 no. It's a regular guy. But his life is not into God or godliness or doing the right thing. His life is into himself. Whatever causes pleasure, mundane and animal pleasure to himself. Okay, let's learn the last line of chapter 9. Why is it like that? Because if you're telling me my whole life is going to be like this, it's a terrible life. I'm going to be in conflict my whole life. Why? I don't want to be a conflicted person. I want to live happy. And Alter Rebbe explains, the toivasa Adam, all of this is for the benefit of a person. Sheizgaber alea, that the person should actually overcome these bad inclinations, evil inclinations, animal soul, and so on, v'yenatzchena, and you should actually win this war or fight and so on. And how do you know that the purpose of the animal soul and all the pleasures of the world and so on is for us to overcome them? Kemashal hazayin shebezer hakodesh, like the example of a prostitute, harlot, I don't know how to say this in English, brought down in the Zoya. What's the example? It's a famous example. The example is there's a king, and the king has a son who is going to be the future king, and the father wants to prove the strength of the son. And therefore, what does the father do? He goes to the best harlot of the town, the best of all, and he pays her the best money for what? To seduce my son. Go seduce the king, the son of the king. And she goes, and she's good at what she does. She's very good. She's the best. Now, the king doesn't want the son to end up whatever. She also doesn't want, but she's a faithful servant of the king, and she does her job. And that's what she's supposed to be doing. That's fine, because she's a servant of the king. And even if the prince ends up whatever, it's not her fault. She's doing what she's being paid for. She's doing what she has supposed to be doing, the job that the king told her to do. That's the example that Zohar brings to understand evil in a very general way, even evil in the world. Why such a thing exists? Why God could have made it so much simpler for us, so much easier for us? How? Don't create mundane pleasures. Just show us how God is so pleasurable, and that's it. Everybody's going to serve God. And that's easy. And that's good. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to work. God wants us to overcome these things by ourselves. Because it's a known thing. It's a classical logical idea brought down in Jewish philosophy, not related to Kabbalah or anything, but it's brought down also in Kabbalah and so on, that anything that we have easy in life, we end up not really understanding the importance it has. The Gemara says, the Talmud says actually, Adam kaf sheloy mitisha kam shechaveira. A person prefers one measure. Kaf is the name of a measure, like 1 kilogram, whatever. One measure of his own product that he worked for that, than not done nine measurements of somebody else's. Even though that's nine, mine is only one. Yeah, but I worked for this. It's mine. I accomplished this. And you feel better. And if you only receive and receive and receive, one day you're going to feel completely useless. You're nothing. You're not able to accomplish anything. Anything you have, everything you have, comes from somewhere else, not your effort. So you're going to feel bad. But that's why God creates these challenges in a very general way, that we should overcome them and feel good about it. Okay, that's chapter 9, defining, after all the structure, the way this actually works. There's a conflict. Perek Yud, chapter 10. Vehine, now. Kesheha'adam magbir nafsho elokis v'nilcham kol kach im abamis. When a person strengthens, I don't know, the godly soul and fights so much with the animal soul to the point that you actually kick it away and you destroy the evil from inside of you, from the left side of your heart. It's written, it's actually many times in the Torah, and you will destroy the evil from within you. However, different than we just brought down in the end of chapter 9, you still don't transform into good, literally, all your evil parts. That means you took it out, you destroyed it, you didn't transform it. If a person should take a picture, so to speak, a spiritual picture of himself in this point, you have a Yetzer Toiv, you have a good inclination, you don't have a Yetzer Hara, no bad inclination. Wow. Okay. Nikra Tzadik Sheine Gomor. However, this is called a righteous person that is not complete. Betzadik Veraloi. And it's called also a righteous person that has evil or controls the evil. In chapter 1, we brought this idea from the Zohar, Veraloi. There are two ways to translate this expression. Tzadik Veraloi, a righteous person that does not prosper, that does not move on in life. Veraloi, has bad things happening to him. Or the second more profound translation that Rebbe brought, Veraloi, the evil belongs to him. He's the owner of his own evil. What does that mean? Dehainu. That means, שיש בידיים מעט מזייר רב אחד לשמאלי, he still has a very, very small amount of evil in his left side of the heart. Ella, why did we say before that it doesn't exist? We just said that it's a little bit. Shekofuf batel letoif. It's completely subservient and completely nullified to the good part inside of him. Mechamas mi'utoi, because it's so little amount of evil that it doesn't express, it doesn't function, it doesn't do anything. But it's still there. Yeah, but it doesn't do anything. That's why tzaddik is a righteous person, v'ra, and the evil part, loy, belong to him. I'm the master here. I'm the owner here. And in chapter 1, actually, the Alter Rebbe brought down interesting story, very short, by David HaMelech, by King David. He killed, literally, the Alter Rebbe didn't say this in this chapter, but he brought it down before. He killed his evil inclination. That means, again, as I said before, if you take a picture of this guy, he does not have an evil inclination. That's it. He's dead. Does it have a good inclination? Yes. Does it have an evil inclination? No. Now, the Alter Rebbe over here is explaining a different level. Does it have a good inclination? Yes. Does it have an evil inclination? Yes. But it's very small, really small. Velachen, and therefore, because it's so small, the evil inside of this guy, nidmeloi ki vayigarashu vayelachloi kuloi legamre. It seems to the person that he completely kicked away, and it went away, the evil inside of him. It doesn't, you don't feel it, you don't see it, it doesn't express, you might think it's not there anymore. Aval be'emes, but the truth is, if you would really kick away completely the evil inside of you, what does it really mean? It should have transformed, it would have transformed into good, literally. So over here, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain, but I want to say it before to make it easier. So we're talking about three types of tzaddikim, righteous people. Between parentheses, interestingly to mention, the Alter Rebbe wrote a Sefer Tzaddikim also. This one is called Sefer Shebeinanim, okay? The book of the intermediate people. The Alter Rebbe wrote a book of Tzaddikim, of righteous people, but it got burned. The world wasn't ready for it. We don't have it anymore. Now, the Alter Rebbe is defining three types of Tzaddikim, three types of righteous people. Type number one, David HaMelech, King David. I killed my evil inclination through fasting and mortifications and whatever. That's David HaMelech. Second type is there's a very small amount of evil inside of you. It doesn't express, but it's there. So you're not complete. And Alter Rebbe is going to explain why. Not complete. And the third type is I transformed my evil into good. So you take a picture of this guy. Do you have good inclination? Yes, I have two. Do you have an evil inclination? No. He transformed the evil into good. The explanation of all this thing is, kihine tzadik gomor. What's a complete righteous person? He transformed his evil parts into good. That's why he's called a righteous person and good for him. Toiv loy. Everything inside of him is good. He doesn't even have any small amount of evil inside of him. This is through taking away all the dirty garments from the evil completely. The Hainu, what does that mean to take out the evil inside of you? And what he's going to say now, it's what actually defines a tzaddik, and that's why it's so difficult. Limois me'oid betainug elamaseh, azem. To hate completely, to feel like disgusted by the pleasures of this world. Like a person can see, okay, pizza. And just of course, it's just a stupid example, but it's just one example. Pizza, okay, pizza. Do you like pizza? Yes. Do you eat pizza? No. But I like it. Yeah, but I know I don't have to eat so much because whatever, blah, blah, blah. Do you hate pizza? No, what do you mean? I like it. I'm not going to eat it for whatever reason, but I like it anyway. Okay, that's not what the Altareb is talking about. I hate it. I feel disgusted when I see it. It's like vomiting is... Ah! That's a tzaddik. That's what he feels. And if, of course, a person doesn't have to, does not have to fool himself. Because that's stupid. Who are you fooling? God, you're not fooling. Other people, maybe, but you're just fooling yourself. So, limo is me'oid betanug el amazeh. He hates, really disgusting, every single pleasure of this world. Leisanek bam, to have actually pleasure from that. Like, no. The Gemara, the Talmud brings that there are many levels of creation in Hagiga, whatever, it's a whole discussion. And it says that there's something called Shmarei Ha'oifanim. Shmarei, Shmarim, I have no idea how to say this in English, but Shmarim is when you had wine in ancient times. Wine was like water, and there was a lot of, whatever, dirty things, like thing that was on the bottom of the bottle. So when you serve the wine, you didn't want these dirty things on the bottom. In Hebrew, it's called Shmarim. Okay. The pleasures of the world are called Shmarei Ha'oifanim. This thing that the angels, Oifanim, actually reject and say, oy, this is disgusting, that's for us pleasures of the world. So when a person thinks, the Alter Rebbe is going to say it later, when the person thinks, oh, this food, ah, what a pleasurable thing. Wait a second, what are you eating? I'm eating excrement of the angels. But they reject and say, oh, you throw it in the bathroom. That's disgusting. That's what you're eating, actually. So how can you have pleasure out of that? It's terrible. Continue with the text. Betainugas bnei adam, lemalez taivas aguv bilvad. They hate any kind of pleasure, to have pleasure from that, like the people have pleasure and passions of the body. Velei lavaydas Hashem. And yet they don't use this thing in the service of God. So the tzaddikim hate this. Because all these pleasures, actually, they come from and they are nurtured from the impurity, klipa, shells on the other side, and so on. Behold, and anything that has any connection to the other side, quote unquote, Tzadik Gomor, who soinoi betachlis asina, the complete righteous person hates it with a complete hate, hatred. Mechamas godel avasel Hashem, and this comes the other side of the tzadik. Why does it hate so much? Let's call it quote unquote evil, like the pleasures of the world, because he has a strong love for God, ukedushase, and his sanctity. He has a very deep love, pleasurable love, and this real love that he has, as we explained in chapter 9, because the truth is that the world is one thing opposite the other. As it's written, as it's written in Tehillim, I hate them with a complete hatred. They're my enemies. Analyze me, God, and you will know my heart. I really hate this thing. And as big is going to be the love for God, exactly that big is going to be the hatred towards the other side. And the really disgusting feeling for the evil. Betachlis, completely. Because this feeling of disgusting, being disgusted by pleasures and so on, is the complete opposite, exact opposite of love, just like hatred is the opposite of love. So, there's a point over here, so we're going to stop here, but what's a tzaddik gomor? What's a complete tzaddik, complete righteous person? Has a complete hatred to the other side and a complete love for God. What does it mean complete? Explain to me the word complete. Like, I can have a certain amount of a certain level of love for God. Another person has a different level of love for God. So what does it mean, complete? Complete means that according to your capacities, you don't have a single, whatever, part of your life that loves or likes something of the other side. As soon as you have even the slightest and smallest feeling towards something on the other side, that's not complete. You're not complete. So complete means when you use every single of your powers, of your capacities, of your feelings, and so on, for God, for loving God, for fearing God, and so on. That's a complete tzaddik. So automatically, he completely hates anything that would be against God, because he loves so powerfully, so deeply God. That's a complete tzaddik.